Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Father God, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this blessed morning time you've given us, oh God, as a church to gather at your feet. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the cross that we sang this morning, oh Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Lord God, that you bore all our sins upon yourself, Lord, so that we can stand this morning and praise you. Hallelujah. In truth and in spirit, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 We give you the glory. We give you the honor, oh God. Oh, every powers of darkness against our church, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We stand upon the rock. Hallelujah. That cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Hallelujah. Help us, oh God, to listen to you this morning. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory in Jesus mine. I told Satan, get thee behind me. Victory today is mine. This is a very old song from the Southern Gospel. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind me. Victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is in the Lord is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind me. Joy of the Lord is mine. Happiness is mine. Happiness is mine. Happiness today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind me. Happiness today is mine. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? You have the victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today's title of the message is a little bit tricky. Can you put it on the slide? It says lessons from a donkey and a fig tree, right? This message is for the kids. So a little bit, put it in a way that they'll be, you know, attracted to the message. So the story, the lessons from a donkey and a fig tree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Go to slide 2. Hallelujah. This story is from Mark chapter 11. So I'm taking this whole message is from Mark chapter 11. So we read in Mark chapter 11, Jesus is going towards Jerusalem, and he instructs his disciples to go into the village and find a donkey that he could ride on. Right? And he tells them, if somebody asks you why you're taking the donkey, tell them the Lord needs it and I will return it soon. So the two disciples left, and just like Jesus told them, they found the donkey. It was a donkey's, the young one of the donkey. The donkey is called. And somebody asked, what are you doing? Untying that colt, which is never ridden. That the Bible says that the donkey was never ridden, and it was the first time that somebody is going to use it. And they said, the Lord needs it, and they allowed them to take it. And what happened next, you see that Jesus sat on the donkey. People threw the garments over it, and he sat on it. And many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they cut in the fields. And Jesus was sitting in the center, was in the center of the procession on the donkey, and the people around him was praising. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we see, so Jesus enters into the temple, and he looked carefully at everything, and he left back. The day 2, we see next morning, Jesus is again going towards Jerusalem, and he is very hungry this time. This time he's so hungry that he sees a leafy fig tree. He sees a fig tree on the roadside, and he's expecting fruit on it. And he goes towards it, and there were only leaves, because it was too early in the season for fruit. And Jesus said to the fig tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard that. And Jesus goes into the temple, and you know what happened? And he sees the temple was filled with merchants, right? People are selling, buying, and animals for sacrifices. So he knocks out the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. And he said to them, "The scriptures declare, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have turned it into a den of thieves." And day three, the next morning, as they were returning back, you see the fig tree that he had cursed the day before. The disciples noticed its leaves were withered and from the root up. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day. And he asked, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." And Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Hallelujah. So today's message is about this whole situation, the scenarios that happened in Mark chapter 11. The entire life of Jesus, go to the next slide. The entire life of Jesus was to fulfill God's promise to Israel, right? So the entire life of Jesus, if you look at the life of Jesus, he came to fulfill God's promise to Israel. That was given through the prophets, okay? The prophets prophesied about Jesus. Jesus said it himself in Matthew chapter 5. 17 to 18, it says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved." Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus came to fulfill, to accomplish everything God had written in the scriptures. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. If you go into, to explain a few examples, go to the next slide. His birth. If you look at his birth, his birth was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. "All right, then the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So we know Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, this prophecy was told. Hallelujah. And same in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, "O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Second, his ministry was told in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1. Jesus himself said this when he went to a synagogue, when he started his ministry, he read from Isaiah chapter 61. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord, sovereign Lord, is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." So this was the ministry of Jesus that was foretold by Isaiah, hallelujah, the prophet. And we also read about his betrayal, how he will be betrayed by his own people. In Zechariah chapter 11, 12 to 13, you read, "And I said to them, 'If you like, give me my wages, whatever I am worth, but only if you want to.' So they counted out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, 'Throw it to the potter,' this magnificent sum at which they valued me. So I took the 30 coins and threw them to the potter in the temple of the Lord." So this is how, you know the story, how Judas betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was the minimum wage for a slave in those times. And for the 30 pieces of silver, Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. His crucifixion is written in Psalms chapter 21, 22, 13 to 18, it says, hallelujah, like lions, they open their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, melting within me. My strength has dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs, and even evil gangs closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves. They throw dice for my clothing. You know exactly what happened in the life of Jesus while he was on the cross. In Numbers chapter 21 verse 9, we read, so Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. And just like Jesus prophesied about the same thing, he said, just like Moses, I'll give you one sign. Just like Moses lifted up the snake on a pole, the Son of Man will be lifted up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So this was prophesied and fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Finally, I want to talk about the resurrection. He said in Psalm 16, 9 to 10, no wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Hallelujah. This prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus' life. In 3 days, he rose from the dead. And Jesus himself said, like Jonah, In Jonah chapter 1 verse 17 we read, now the Lord has arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And Jesus said, this prophecy will be fulfilled in his life. And Jesus replied only in Matthew chapter 12, 39 to 40, only an evil, adulterous generation will demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is a sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Hallelujah. Why I read all these things? Just to tell you that Jesus' life was to fulfill the prophecies about him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to the main message. The story of Jesus riding on a donkey was a prophecy that had to be fulfilled. Go to the next slide. Hallelujah. Jesus had to go into the temple because there was a prophecy about him entering into the Jerusalem on a donkey. It is written in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. If you want, you can put the verse also. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Hallelujah. This prophecy was to be fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A king is coming to you. Hallelujah. He is righteous and victorious, but yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does this demonstrate? Hallelujah. This demonstrates Jesus' obedience to the word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus made sure that everything he does in his life was according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything he did, he planned meticulously. Hallelujah. Of how to obey the word of God. Hallelujah. If you read, so if you see that for in this story, as I read in the beginning, day one, he prepared how, what will happen. He went and said, I want to go and borrow an unridden donkey's colt, right? So he planned it. He said, go, told his disciples, go there and you'll find a donkey lying there and you take it from them. If somebody asks, tell them that I want to borrow it. So he borrows it. Jesus himself didn't own a donkey. He didn't have a donkey himself. He had to borrow it, right? So he took the effort to borrow a donkey, right? So he planned it. And then he said, when he rode into it, hallelujah, he said he had to humble himself, right? A king will not use a donkey to enter a city, right? A king, if he is victorious, he always enters in a chariot. He rides on a horse. Never a king rides on a donkey, right? You have seen in many stories. So if you look at here, you see Jesus fulfilled the promise. The word of God said that he has to ride on a donkey. So he took, make sure that he's riding on a donkey, and not just a donkey, but a donkey's colt. Hallelujah. And it is not an easy ride. You think that riding on a donkey is easy? It is very difficult. It is a painful effort. I don't know how many of you have sat on a donkey, but if you have, people have said that if you ride on a donkey, it is very uneasy. It's uncomfortable. It's not easy to ride on a donkey. But Jesus took the uncomfortable lifestyle for us. Hallelujah. He chose the uncomfortable things so that to fulfill, to obey the word of God. Let's go to the next point, cursing the fig tree and clearing the temple. What does this story demonstrate? The Bible says this demonstrates Jesus' zeal for the temple of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 56 verse 7 says, I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem. I will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices, because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus, the Bible had proclaimed that Jerusalem will be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. Jeremiah told about this. If you continue to be living like this, it will become a den of thieves. And Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 11 says, don't you yourself admit that this temple which bears my name has become a den of thieves. Surely I see all the evil going on there. I, the Lord, have spoken. So Jesus wanted to teach these people in the temple that God's temple is not for marketplace, not for doing business, right? So he demonstrated his zeal for the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 69 verse 9 says, the passion for your house has consumed me, and the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. So passion. Jesus showed passion in this story. So why cursing the fig tree, you may ask? Why did he curse the fig tree? Here is a lesson we learned from that. You curse the fig tree because Jesus, if you read the story, Jesus was very hungry that morning. He was hungry, and the fig tree gave him a solution. The fig tree was supposed to give him fruit, but when he came near to the fig tree, it had no fruit. The world is like a deception. This shows, the story explains us, the donkey story tells you that it's uncomfortable when you want to obey the word of God. But when you want to do something for the Lord, there is also deception in this world that will try to deceive you for, you know, when you live in the flesh. So Jesus, while he was in the flesh, he faced the same hunger like you and me, right? So how many of you ate this morning? Because you are hungry. Because your parents would have told, let's go to church, fast and go to church. But many of you would have said, no, I don't want to fast, I want to eat, right? So you eat and come because you want to satisfy your hunger. So Jesus also had hunger, but he was going to fulfill a promise. He wants to go and show that the passion of the Lord was with him. But the fig tree was an obstacle in his life. And what he said, he cursed the fig tree. No one should eat from your tree because you're a deception for the people. Hallelujah. In your life, in our lives, hallelujah, there'll be deceptions coming, especially to the young people. There'll be deceptions that comes in your life in this world. You need to curse it. You need to tell it, get away from me. Right? When you curse it, that's what Jesus said, if you have really have faith, you say to this mountain and be moved out, it shall be moved out. Hallelujah. So hallelujah. So this is a message to the youth this morning. Next slide. So this is my main message to the youth. The reason you come to the church, you sing songs, you attend prayer meetings, you have a lot of other functions, you know, from the church. The purpose is for you to become a disciple of Jesus, right? The main purpose you come to church is not to have fun, is to listen to the word of God and to be a disciple of Jesus. Hallelujah. A follower of Jesus will do what the word of God teaches and will be passionate about it. Jesus, hallelujah, wanted to obey the word of God, and he was passionate about it. And he took every effort. He was very careful how he lived his life. He was very careful in what he decided, how he planned his life, right? So Jesus showed, you saw how the story of the donkey and the fig tree. Jesus was very careful how he planned everything, right? In the same way, young people, you need to be very careful how you live your life on this earth. You can't take it lightly, right? Be obedient to God's word, just like Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. I don't know if some of the children can read. I want one of the child to read. Please read Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 3. Amen. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. That's why they're bringing you into this church. Hallelujah. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Hallelujah. You want blessing in your life? You want victory in your life? You need to pay close attention to this commandment. Hallelujah. Don't say, I do all these things on the stage. I do all those things. You know, I get good marks. I don't care about my parents' instructions. I do in my own way. You know, at the end of the day, you'll fail because you didn't really obey your parents, right? We are living in a generation. They call it the new last 8 years. The children who were born in the last 8 years are called Generation Alpha. You know that? They call the Generation Alpha because they are the most knowledgeable. The people of this world are saying the most knowledgeable people in this world are Generation Alpha. All the children who are born, how many of you are less than eight? Who is less than eight? You know, right? Those two boys are the most knowledgeable. Be careful with them. Like Sam and Timothy. Right? All the kids. Oh, there you go. Right? Deepthi's daughter, I think I forgot her name. Rebecca, yes. Becky, yes. Rebecca, all those young kids, pay close attention. John, I see little John there back. So, all those kids are Generation Alpha who are going to shake the world. But because they have so much knowledge at this young age itself, right? When we were born, we were Generation X or Y, I don't know what we call. There's a lot of debate over that. Some say we are 90s kids, some say we are millennials, I don't care. But what we see is Generation Y, I believe, Generation Z, most of you are Generation Z, I would say, is also exposed to a lot of technology at a young age, right? So you have so much information to you. So since you have so much knowledge, you think you know more than your parents, right? You think when you come home, you come, you say, I don't care, I know everything, right? You do what you feel like. His mom says, clean up your room. What do you do? I don't care. You close the door and you listen to music, right? And then mom comes back in the morning and says the room is still dirty. And you say, what happened? I'll take care of it next time, right? This is how our young people are responding, right? Generation Z. So this is how we respond to our parents. Why? Because you have too much knowledge. Because you think you know better than your parents, right? So, but the Bible says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on this earth. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 says, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Right? My child, listen when your father corrects you. Hallelujah. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Hallelujah. I shared this message to a church when I was in US. They had an arts competition and then they asked me to share a message there. And so I was telling them, because all the young kids were very talented people, right? They were very young people and they had the same problem. They thought they know better than their parents. And so they asked me to come and share a word. And I was sharing and Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit taught me from this life of Jesus. Jesus himself was very knowledgeable than his parents. If you really look at the history, Jesus, when he was born, he had all the wisdom. Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature. He even argued with the religious leaders when he was at age 12, right? Bible says. And his parents, when they went to the temple, when they returned back, they couldn't find Jesus because Jesus was still in the temple arguing with the religious leaders. And when the parents came, and why did he do this to me? Don't you know I am doing my father's business? Jesus responded because he had a lot of knowledge. But you see something what happened after that. You don't hear anything about Jesus until the age 30. Until the age of 30, Jesus, you never hear thing. You hear anything. Why? Because he was obedient to his parents on this earth. Even though he was the Lord of Lords, even though he created everything, he humbled himself to his parents, right? So you might have a lot of knowledge, but as long as you are under the care of your parents, you need to be obedient to your parents, just like Jesus was obedient to his parents, right? Hallelujah. When Jesus was obedient to his parents, when he was at age 30, when he was ready to do the ministry, when God prepared the way for him, when the messenger that went before him, John the Baptist, his own cousin, went out and started preaching about the gospel, the gospel of repentance, and he prepared the way for Jesus to start his ministry. Until then, he waited till age 30 to start his ministry. And the same way, young people, you need to wait until God calls you to do anything for him, right? So don't make decisions out of thin air. Okay, I got a calling to go to God's, do God's ministry. No. You got to wait at the feet of God. Listen to your parents. Get the instructions from your mother. Obey your parents until you get the direction from God himself. Don't listen to any other people. Listen to God himself, and he will then direct your path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus obeyed his earthly parents and his heavenly father, God appreciated him. Hallelujah. We read in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, in the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father came in the cloud and he said, "This is my dearly beloved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him." Hallelujah. Only if you are obedient, God will be pleased with you. Hallelujah. God, Jesus was obedient to his parents. He was obedient to God the Father. That's why God himself gave a testimony. He is my beloved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him. Even in baptism, when he obeyed the baptism, when he went into the water, when he came out, the voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly beloved son who brings me great joy." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to be a follower of Jesus? Then you have to obey what Jesus has commanded us. Hallelujah. Second thing, be passionate for the things of God and remove anything that is an obstacle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be passionate for the things of God and remove anything that is an obstacle. Focus on good things. As you are growing in this world, there's a lot of things that's attracting you, right? There's so many things that can distract you. Just, the world is full of deception, right? To name a few, right? You have now virtual reality. This new VR has come, right? And I think some kids would have been already asking parents, "Buy me a virtual reality for my birthday." What is that for? It is creating a deceptive environment. VR, virtual reality, is, as the word says, is virtual. There's nothing real about it, right? So we want a virtual reality life. A lot of the young people want to live in a make-believe world, right? They suddenly switch off everything. They say, "I don't want to listen to anybody. I want to just focus on something else," right? They're floating in the air or floating in the in space, right? Have you seen some? I see my son is sometimes watching some cartoons where the car is flying from top of some sky and falling and crashing, and he's enjoying that. So he likes crashing cars. I said, that is what it is happening. People want to see things that is not real, right? So that is the world we are living in. It is stimulating us to an unreal world. Now there is a thought that we can go and live in moon, or you can live in the Mars. We're going to establish a colony there, and people are already putting money to buy a ticket in Elon Musk's SpaceX, right? How many of you want to go to Mars? Anyone wants to go to Mars? Maybe the generation Alpha will go, most likely, right? So I say these are deception that we are living in. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22 says, "Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust," right? Anything that desires, you think that, hallelujah, it's from the Lord, youthful. I want to be there. I want to be the number one, right? Instead, pursue righteous living, pursue faithfulness, pursue love, this is what Paul writes to Timothy, right? Pursue love and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. He says, enjoy the fellowship of fellow believers, right? So he's saying, stay away from bad things and stay close to good things. That's why your parents are bringing you to church, because they want you to stay away from bad things so that you'll be close to good things, right? Because our desire is, okay, I finish my job, Sunday is over, next 6 days, let me enjoy the worldly things, right? But even every single day, you have a decision to make. Hallelujah. The result is, hallelujah, you'll be blessed and used of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 says, if you keep yourself pure, this age, my dear young children, I say, this is the age where Satan can deceive you. You have to be very, very careful, right? At this age, you need to keep yourself pure. You will be, God will use you if you keep yourself pure. The Bible says you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next slide. See, Jesus faced a lot of challenges for doing the things of God. Some of the challenges that Jesus faced, he was not from a very wealthy family. He was a carpenter's son. Right? They mocked him when he started his ministry. They mocked him and said, you are a carpenter's son. What are you going to teach us? Right? He was from a humble background. He was born in a manger. He was not a king. And he did not get accepted by his hometown, Nazareth. Right? Nobody believed him when he started preaching in Nazareth. And they did not recognize him as a leader. The religious leaders was always trying to find fault with him. The rulers criticized him. Right? And even criticized his miracles. They said, what authority you have? In what authority are you doing this? Right? His own disciples betrayed him. They didn't believe him when things got tough. Right? Finally, he was rejected by his own people and they crucified him on the cross. Jesus faced all these challenges. But praise be to God, he was still focused on his goal. What was his goal? That he has to die on the cross. We sang this morning, hallelujah, the cross, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. At the cross, he paid the price for our sins. That was his goal, hallelujah, hallelujah. Despite all this, Jesus remained focused, prepared himself to accomplish the task God given him. I believe, young people, you have a lot of challenges before you, right? In your school, you have challenges. At home, you have challenges. At work, you have challenges. But if you follow what Jesus did, if you follow the way he has shown us, you will have the victory. You will accomplish the way Jesus won the victory on the cross. Hallelujah. Two things you need to do, finally. The victory is yours. You got to do two things. First thing is, you have to be baptized. You have to believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized in the water. And also be baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are two important things Jesus told. If you want to believe me, Jesus said in the Great Commission, go baptize everyone in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So God wanted everyone to believe him and be baptized in the water and in the Holy Spirit. Pastor shared this morning about the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot survive in this world. That's why Jesus himself said in John chapter 14 verse 26, he says, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. So in this world, who is our teacher? The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Hallelujah. That is why you need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because only the Holy Spirit can teach you. Nobody can teach you. You may come to Sunday school, you may come to church. That is only for a few hours. But if you outside the world, who is going to teach you what is right and what is from wrong? When you face a situation in your personal life, who is going to guide you? Right? Once you leave your house, who is going to guide you? Right? Many young people have failed because of once they leave the home, they fall into the bad habits. Why? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit in their life. I still remember when I got my job. I was in California. I was working for 2 years in California. So I had a very good I was bachelor at the time. I had good roommates, good atmosphere, all Malayalis, right? All of them come Friday night, all of them go for drinking, right? That make masala dosa and beer, right? This is the standard. This is how they live their life, right? Masala dosa and beer. They say, come, enjoy, we have a party. I don't go for it, right? And so they always used to criticize me. He said, you come, they invite me for birthday parties, right? They come, don't invite Sunil, in a way. Because he's going to drink up all the juice. Because he's going to drink up all the juice, because I drink only juice. Because they all drink the cocktail, you know, if you need juice and the alcohol to mix it. So I come there, I finish up all the pineapple juice. So they don't invite me. So in that situation, I knew that that is not the atmosphere that I have to live. So I made the decision to leave and go to Michigan. I was living in Detroit for 4 years after that. But what I'm trying to say is, when the Holy Spirit guides you, he takes you away from wrong influence, right? So it might be a good place. You know, many times I used to think, why did I leave California? The weather was wonderful, right? Every day, every weekend, you can go some great place to visit. I come to Michigan, he said, it's cold all the time, right? The winter is so bad, six, seven months of winter. Hallelujah. But praise be to God. In Michigan, God, hallelujah, used me. God gave me a nice church, IAG. I was part of International Assemblies of God Church. I was a member. I used to lead worship there. And I was really blessed. I got married. Amita was born there. And God opened the doors for me in many different ways. But what I'm trying to say is, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, God will take you in a different direction. It might be painful. It might be uncomfortable. But God, but if you follow Jesus, hallelujah, he will take you in the right direction. Hallelujah. Put God's word into practice. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is my message for today that God wants to teach us this morning. Hallelujah. As young people, there's a lot of decisions that's going to come in your life. There's a lot of tough questions, tough situations going to come into your life. But if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, hallelujah, you have the victory, just like Jesus had the victory, hallelujah. We baptize in the water, we baptize in the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, hallelujah. No matter, even if your parents are not with you, no matter they are far away from you, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you will make the right decision in your life. You will never go astray, hallelujah. May the Lord bless us with his words, amen. Thank you. All the children, please come on stage. Yeah.